Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, depending on where you are in the world. We greet you today on the Female Solution Show. We are glad that you're able to be here with us today. You could have joined us at another time because we're here every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But you are here at the right place, at the right time, and we hope to bring you some stimulating conversation today. Our topic today, of course, is about travel, as it is every third Saturday of the month. Move Around with me, Deborah, and we try to bring a different perspective than the typical commercialized travel information. Travel is booming again. There are so much information. There is so much information that we have to bring to you today, but we want to make sure that it's something that you can hold on to, build upon, and just live your life happily. It is so much trauma in the world. We do hope and pray that those around the world that are going through challenges, especially with the weather as it is, and it's not necessarily going through in your area, but there's a shift. There is a change, and we have to adapt. It is the new normal, as with other things in the world that are coming to us. Travel restrictions are going to start again, so be prepared. Prepare yourself with the education that you need in order to travel safely. there is more to it than just jumping up and going out and purchasing a ticket or deciding where you want to go. There are so many layers into travel. And we want to make sure that you have the opportunity to question if you're not sure what it is. You can always get in touch with me, Deborah, at Deborah.thefemalesolution@gmail.com. I'll be glad to answer any travel questions, whether it be about safety, security, destination, how to, where to, when to. Certainly you can always reach out to me and ask those questions. If you have that question, trust and believe others have it as well, so you're not going to be standing out and being unique, although we know each and every one of us is unique within ourselves. But travel is definitely not something to take lightly. Today, we want to focus on education, the balance of education with children. If you have children and we are in a world that is ever-changing, the culture, the gravity, the geography, we want you to make sure that you educate your children beyond the classroom. And classroom instruction is good, but things are changing. Lifestyles are changing, especially with the health challenges that folks are having now. It's a change, and you want to make sure that you are as safe as you can be. Also, how are you investing in your child's travel? Yes, investing. It is an investment. Anytime you spend money within a particular thing, it's an investment. You go to the grocery store, you purchase the proper food. That's an investment. Anytime you spend money, it's an investment. Currently, there are some additional stimulus money available in the way of a child credit that have been passed out or shared up through the government. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. How are you investing? It is an important thing to know that whenever you spend money, you should do it purposefully. Are you in a position to teach your child financial literacy? Are you teaching your child financial literacy? Do you know about financial literacy? There are opportunities all about us. We used to laugh and say, the older folks, you can find anything on Google. Well, that's about right. You can find anything on Google. But if you're not in the social media, if you're not a part of this culture, and I know that you are, I see children that their parents have invested in their teaching facilities as far as getting the electronics. They all have these small laptops and different other peripherals that they're learning on. It is an amazement. It took me a long time to get some of these things, and yet you have a child, one year old, two years old, working their laptops or whatever else they call them. And they're really drawn to that. And that's good because our children have to keep up with what other children are doing in the world. So don't shy away from it. But there's also that social contact that is needed. And we'll talk a little bit about that today as well. So again, travel is very important to the educational process for your children. So as we explore today the different ways to expose the children, both geographically, culturally, around the world, and now in space. We see that there's space travel that's being done. And I was really surprised at the time that the space travel was actually being done in. I think Mr. Branson was in space just 6 minutes. I'm thinking, I know we're going to be there for hours, but commercial travel to space is not that long. The time element is not that long. But it is something that has been there as a platform for education, space travel, space information. You go and you take your children to Disney and you spend so much on that trip. Take advantage, be purposeful, and go a little further to the Space Center that's only about 2 hours away from Disney. You can get shuttle service. You can get, if you rented a vehicle, you can drive to that location. But it's right there in Florida. There are space stations in Florida, Texas, Alabama. Please forgive me. Alabama, there are space museums, even in your backyard. That's another thing that we're going to talk about today, backyard travel. When I say backyard travel, I'm talking about travel within, say, 50-mile radius of your home, taking the children on a road trip. There's nothing wrong with road trips. Lately, we've had the advantage of renting RVs. A lot of folk have taken on the gauntlet of getting out of the vehicle and doing a road trip and getting in an RV. An RV is encapsulating of having your housing and food service. I know my husband's family did RV travel many, 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 many years ago. Like back in the 60s, they RV traveled across the country. And so that's not something new to them. So folks have been RV traveling for a while, but here lately, because of the time opportunity that we've had, there are more and more that are taking advantage of just traveling the country, traveling the roadways, and exposing themselves and their children. You can rent a space at a campground for little or nothing. In some cases, as little as $20 a night. And you can't get a hotel room for that anywhere that you would want to stay in, I'm sure. But these are opportunities, and not only do you have the housing that you've traveled with, but you also have the food advantages. You're not having to stop at restaurants all the time and getting food from there. You have a stockpile right there in your RV where you can take advantage of that frugal time, spending that money, investing your money in a positive manner. So I just want to thank you all for joining us. You know, we are here every day. I just want to let you know that we're here every day in the Female Solution to give you updates on lifestyle. Your life is a challenge, and we understand that you are going through, we're all going through something, and we certainly hope that our hosts that are here every day, that's Monday through Sunday, we're here to help educate you, to help support you, to comfort you as you go through, to enlighten you in new opportunities, and to just be there, be that sisterhood, that female solution, not only for the female, but for the men as well. We enjoy conversing with our men folk who are a vital pipeline, a bloodline to our success. Without the men, of course, we wouldn't be females. And I know you all know the story of that. But we come to you on Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday throughout the year. Every day, there's not a day that we miss. The holidays, we're here. The Sabbaths, we're here. So we want to make sure that you are aware and exposed. Now, financial understanding of what we have here in this child tax credit that the government has put forth to us. And if you're not aware of it, they have a site, whitehouse.gov. Again, that's whitehouse.gov. Don't get confused with whitehouse.com or whitehouse.anything else. The official site for the White House is whitehouse.gov, which is short for government. And then you could be directed to the child-tax-credit/. And that's a page that will share with you some information that you may have, or questions you may have, or even if some of you folks who have children are unaware. And not only folks who have children, but this is an education for grandparents and aunties and uncles and anyone that you can reach out to make sure that they have this information. The child tax credit is part of the American Rescue Plan, or the stimulus. I think everybody's familiar with the stimulus. But this plan provides the largest tax credit ever and historic relief to most working families. And as of July 15th, most families automatically will receive monthly payments of $250 or $300 per child without even having to take any action, which means that if you file taxes in previous years, you are already been made aware of that you are to receive this money. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to fill out anything. It's automatically going to be there. And this particular site is a site I think you should read up on, even if you're automatically getting it. Again, becoming financially understanding of what the opportunities are and what you're getting is very important. You need to know it's going to help many, many, many families that are struggling or that are having challenges, even those who are not struggling. I think that if you become financially literate and understanding, you will be better able to live according to your finances, and you won't be stressed out about when you're going to pay for the next whatever you need. Now, I know it's a challenge having money and not having money. I don't know necessarily your particular situation, but I know, because I have been there, what families go through. I've raised my family, and I didn't do it alone. It was a village, and you need a village. You need to get out of the mindset that that's my child, and you can't say anything to my child. Yeah, that I regressed a little bit there because I hear that a lot. Okay, that's your child, but if your child is in danger, I'm not going to wait to look for you to try to save your child's life. I may be right or wrong, I don't know, but that's how I will be doing it. And I'll allow the Holy Spirit to lead me in those situations. But I just want you to understand that a lot of folks that say something to your children, they're not to be harmed. They're to be in helping to educate. And that's where the village comes into play. We need a village to help raise our children. So anyway, back to the tax, the child credit that is automatically coming to you. Now, this is a credit. It's just temporary. It's just going to take you through December. But what are you doing with that additional money? What would you have done if you had not gotten this money? If this money was not coming to you, would you survive? Yeah. But now that you are receiving this money and it's a great help, are you purposefully spending it in a way that you should be? We have always kind of put a list together, a list of your wants and your needs. And sometimes they're the same thing on in both columns, but a lot of times your wants is not what you need. It's what you want. So let's be purposeful and lean more to the need category. Your needs should far outweigh the importance than your wants. If you can do without it, that's a want. If you can't do without it for some reason, or you can't manipulate what you have to get what your needs are, then that's when the village helps. You know, the government is working as a village at this point. So I want you to make sure that you go to that site, whitehouse.gov/child-tax-credit/. And it'll give many, many more information about what it is. And if you are in a position where you don't file taxes, you should still automatically get it. But if you don't, make sure that you go to the site, and there are some frequently asked questions about the child tax credit that may help enlighten you. Like, what is the child tax credit? How will the child tax credit give me more help this year? Will I keep getting the expanded credit amounts and the advance payments next year?
who's eligible? Do I qualify? Again, if you don't fill out taxes, in some cases, folks who don't make enough income don't have to fill out taxes, but then there is not a record of what you have. So there's a question and answer about what you need to do to take care of that. Can I use the non-filer sign-up tool to apply for an economic impact payment, a stimulus check? I still hear that some folks still haven't gotten their stimulus check. And that is something that you really should investigate, because that money was set there aside for you. And if you don't have or have not received a stimulus, find out why. I did find out that in some cases, people who file their taxes, say with H&R Block, and I'm not going to call out H&R Block specifically, but those types of locations that fill out your income tax and you get that rapid refund or whatever, well, in some cases, that is the address of the location that the government has to return your taxes. So your tax stimulus money may be in the bank accounts of those rapid refund organizations, and you should investigate that. So that's something I want to share with you about those of you who have not received their stimulus at all. And then that goes into, where will the IRS send your money to? What if I want to give the IRS the new bank account information? Because a lot of monies is now being automatically deposited. The way the Postal Service is working, sometimes that mail may not get to you properly. So you don't want to have to really wait on the mail to receive a check. I've gotten mail from folks in another part of the city. No relationship at all. I don't know. Sometimes it's the machine. I won't say it's human error. But if the mail gets stuck together, it'll get sorted improperly, and it'll get distributed improperly. I've gotten someone's stimulus check to my address. Yes. And what do you do with that? Yes. So how does the child tax credit work, the additional money? If you're familiar with the child tax credit because you've been filling out your income taxes and you've requested that all along, you kind of know how that is. So let folks know that this is an opportunity for them, and because everybody doesn't know. Everybody doesn't read the newspaper. Everybody doesn't look at the news. Everybody doesn't get the information. But again, I want to share with you that this, a number, or this website, whitehouse.gov/child-tax-credit/. Make sure you share that information with everyone you know, especially those who have children. Spread the word. Spread the joy. It is definitely you being part of the village. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be part of the village? I love being part of the village. I enjoy it. I thank God for my village that I had throughout the years of my children being raised. And I know children, you'll always be there to give them advice. But once they're grown and gone, the raising is no longer an opportunity for you. So I will let you know that we'll continue the conversation about travel, being purposeful with your children, and how you're investing this additional stimulus money that you're getting. And if you're not getting the stimulus money, how are you investing your income in the education of your children? We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision of reviving Black literary excellence in this city by simply taking your $20 or more and donating it on our website. Visit www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com and click the Donate tab on our homepage, or give us a call at 646-359-6605. And we welcome you, helping us breathe literary life into the South Side of Chicago.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Right. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. As you can see, we have many hosts that share the stage with us. And I just want you to know that we are here for you. We are the village here at the Female Solution Show. And I am excited to be a part of it. We're here again every day, Monday through Friday. We're here at 7 a.m. Central Time. Now, I share with you Central Time because that's the time I'm in, and it's easiest for me to be able to explain it. So Monday through Friday, Central Time, we're here at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Saturdays from 12 noon to 2 p.m., and on Sundays, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So at any point, you can always join in the conversation that is going on, and it is typically a lively one. You can call in today at 1-515-605-9325 and press 1 to share your voice in what we're speaking about. Again, that number is 1-515-605-9325. And I am so honored to be here, part of the Female Solution. And we have here on the television side our own executive producer, Naima Latif. How are you, Naima?
Oh, I am fantastic. Of course, I'm a bit worn out. Just came in from our blog club, had a great event, alley cleanup. So we've been out picking up trash and weeds and just clearing the alleyways so that the place looks neat and comfortable. And it makes us feel like we deserve decent homes and communities. So it was a wonderful event, the 116th Lafton Street Block Club. I'll post some genuine photos on my Facebook page. But we want to encourage communities to work together and organize events that can push up. And of course, all of us are very community minded. So it was a joy.
That's part of that village. That's that village worker, you know, and I like the fact that you interacted with the folks in the alley. Typically, we know everybody on the block, on the front of our home, you know, folks across the street and whatnot. And we don't interact with those across the alley a lot. So, that's great.
Yeah, and, you know, that's part of when people travel around and they look for neighborhoods where they want to live, they look for things like community cohesion. You know, how are the people getting along? What does the neighborhood look like? If it's full of trash, that lets you know people don't feel good about themselves. If it's clean and neat, that lets you know people do feel good about themselves and they care about each other.
Exactly.
So all of those things, you know, when people look for where they want to finally settle, they look for those kinds of
attributes,
signs that for people, unity and a community.
Yeah, that's funny. We we always go to the neighborhood to make sure before we choose that neighborhood to move into, what's going on, how active is it. You know, you have to go during the day. Don't just go at night, but you have to go at night too. and that is so fulfilling. You can't get past that.
Yes.
So
who hangs out at night, on the day, see about if it's good weather, when it's warm outside, you know, see the kind of.
See what's going on.
Activities.
That's right. It is.
A lot about the neighborhood. That's, it was really a good community.
The village. That's exactly what we're talking about with livelihoods and education and educating the children. The village has to be on point. And if you don't have a village type of surroundings or a village type mentality, you are doing yourself and your children an injustice because you're not expanding their mind. That's why, you know, travel is so important. You go to school and you go to in-school instruction, and I understand that a lot of folks need that in-school instruction. Parents need to have that in-school instruction because they have to do what they have to do for the livelihood. But there are also that out-of-school instruction with the geography, the history, the science, even the math. You know, we talk about financial literacy and how you are investing your money, no matter how large or small your account may be. You know, do you know what your bank has to offer? Are you teaching your children? Are you opening up the opportunity to them to know about the bills
and how you're paying them and how you're budgeting whatnot. Because a lot of times they just, all they understand is you got a cash station machine and let's go get some money. But it's not, that money is not going to always be there. So you have to educate them. Don't shy away from that. Sometimes we're embarrassed as an adult. We're embarrassed and we don't know how to get that information over to them because we don't know ourselves. So you know how you should reach out and get that financial literacy understanding yourself. Everyone has some type of account, a bank account, or somehow you're moving credit around. And those creditors are becoming more and more community related and reaching out to share the credit information, how to the financial literacy on what folks need to know. So take advantage of it. Don't try not to be apprehensive about opening up to the world who you are and what's going on. We're all having challenges. We've all had them. You're not going through something that we are not aware of. But we're here to help.
You know, one thing that I recall growing up, and maybe a lot of people had the same experience, but it's something that we want to change in this next generation. My parents didn't discuss their finances. They didn't discuss how much they earned. They didn't discuss what the bills were worth. We just always told, you know, will that cost too much, or, you know, we can't afford that right now. But I didn't have any numbers in my head in terms of what it costs to live. And I think today, rather than us thinking, oh, well, you know, finance, that's the grown folks' business, I think now we need to share with our children what it costs to live. What is the light bill? What is the gas bill? What is the phone bill? You know, what is the mortgage? What is the rent? What are these numbers? I mean, these are math problems, you know, and then how much do I earn? This is what I earn each week. This is what, you know, spouse, your other parent earned, whatever it is. This is the combined household income. Make it a math problem. Make it a way you teach them so that they understand addition and subtraction, and they understand the decisions that go into household management. I think that is a crucial thing for us to do. You don't want to do that by trial and error. I have so many grown friends
that don't know,
that do not understand the cost of living. They're half a step away from homelessness all the time because they don't think in terms of, okay, this is the money that I earn. This is what it costs for me to stay where I'm staying. If I don't pay for that, then I will not have a place to stay.
Right.
This is how much I'm spending on food. Rather than me spending a lot of money on trinkets or unnecessary things, I need to first pay for where I live. And that's something that we have to teach at a very early age, not teaching you're poor and you don't have enough, or if you can just make a bunch of money, everything will be fine. You have to teach budgeting by mathematics. My sister talked about it. I think that the name of the program was called Financial Peace, that her and her husband went through, and they took their children through it so they can understand mathematically how you figure out a budget.
And don't do it angrily. Don't do it like, woe is me. Put some type of joy to it. Saying, some excitement, not like, oh, we can't do it. Say, oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Not this time. You can't make it such a downtrodden activity because that's where the fear comes in.
Right. And we often grow up with fears of money because if you fear something you don't understand.
Right.
But if you lay it out with the children, say, this is what you always like to get. You like a new bike. This is how much money we have. This is how much it costs to live. What can we do extra to get the money that you want for the new bike?
Right.
I mean, to help them figure out ways they can earn extra money, things they can sell. I mean, they have all kinds of things. You can sell stuff on eBay. I mean,
things
so
you
can
do without. Things you can do without.
You can do without. I mean, think in terms of See, we always think in terms of lack. I don't have. I can't do. Think of what can I do to achieve the thing I would like to achieve, as opposed to, well, I just don't have enough. Well, you always have energy to create. We are creators. That's who we are.
That's what we do. Yes.
So if we break our fears of money and poverty and not project them onto our children, we can give them ideas on how they can create the things that they want in order to get the things they desire. But it means talking to them early about money and earnings and entrepreneurship, whether it's selling or whatever it is.
You'll make them a better citizen.
You make them a better citizen.
A better citizen.
And then when they travel, they'll have a better understanding, because everybody, I mean, whatever currency you're using, everybody understands basic buying and selling.
Right.
You know, and this is why foreigners can come to America and do so well, because they understand if I can sell something, then I can earn a living. So all they do is figure out what they can sell us. And we still try to figure it out. But that's all income is generated from selling something.
Selling.
So you can go sell it in a foreign country, set up shop. You can sell something that they want.
You know,
my daughter,
you take a picture.
Anything. I mean, my daughter, when she went overseas, she found these. I think were they Kenyan, I believe, but they had a hair braiding shop. She, you know, because she got the extensions done in her hair before she went overseas to Korea. Well, what Koreans are going to know about braiding our hair and braiding extensions, all that sort of thing? But she found some African women who did hair, and they had a shop, you know, and they were making money, because every American go over there looking for somebody black and know how to do hair. So, you know, you can make a living anywhere in the world if you figure out what people need and how to sell it to them.
Yes. Right there in your own home, or as you travel the world, if you are a traveler, you can find some way to make money on the internet, because that's what folks are doing all the time. Take a picture of a garment and put it on the internet and say, this is what the sale is, which is inclusive of the shipping. Because you know the most, you've already plugged that in to the price, and just sell it. And there's always someone who is looking for something. There is a great need and understanding for folks reselling. You know, instead of going into the stores, the resale shops, they're reselling online through Facebook.
Yeah.
You know. It everywhere.
Yeah, my daughter has an online store on Instagram. She has an online resale store. Fresh Roots Thrift is the name of her store on Instagram, and she's constantly selling, and she's got one of those. She's got the whole setup where, you know, she's got the scale, you weigh your things, and then you can figure out the postage, print out the postage stamp. All she has to do is just either drop off the package to the post office or they come and get it. But she's constantly, you know, moving merchandise.
Right.
And she'll go to the resale stores and pick out things that I guess are sales items. But, I mean, she's got this online business going and just, you know, constantly turn over cash flow. And she has – the only reason why she hasn't taken overseas clients is because it costs so much to ship
the
overseas.
Trip,
but
yeah.
She's shipped stuff all over the country.
Yeah.
You know, national business. Just,
you know,
I was doing some things during COVID. I said, we got this house. We'll be selling forever. We still have some things. Get rid of all this old stuff.
What's old to you is new to someone else. It's antique.
Yeah.
You know, it may be old, but it's antique. There's a great need for antiques. So understanding that you can expand beyond where you are, you don't have to stay stuck in a rut. You just have to expand and utilize the knowledge. Like when we first started, I was saying how all of these children, 1 year old, have these laptops and these iPods and whatnot, and they're working them. So technology is not going to be new to the youth. We're the ones that have to catch up. I know I have to catch up. But they have all of these platforms right there for you.
we have to figure out how to develop that platform for them. And if we don't know how to, there are, again, Google it. My husband, he's got the green thumb now. He had no idea about plants. I told him to Google it. He's like, oh, you can't find anything on Google. He's Googling everything now. You know, they're Googling how to repair cars, you know, and those who have these cars that they can't afford to take to the shop and some things that they can do for themselves, they're Googling. I saw a fellow with the flashlight in one hand and the camera in another hand learning how to put something in under the hood of the car. I'm like, my, and it works. It works. So the opportunities are there. We have to expose ourselves as adults and in turn expose our children. This world is so full of different attributes. We talk about education in the classroom, but you've got history is a topic that you have to take every year of school you have. You have to have history. So where can you get history from? I kind of did some research, and even the little towns in the area surrounding the big cities, you know, you have the little suburbs, even the suburbs have museums. They may not be big and massive, but they have museums talking about how that particular village started, what it's gone through, and in some cases, where they project to go in the future. Right in your backyard. That's part of that backyard movement. And then expose yourself to different things. We talk about geography. Now, we live in the city, the big city, but have you been to a ski resort?
That's an experience. When I visited my sister in California, we went the mountains.
Yes.
And for some reason, the mountains, they're high, they always have snow. And that was an interesting experience, skiing. And, you know, it always is good to get out of your comfort zone. If you're an urban person, go and do something different, like camping or skiing.
You talk about skiing even. Riding the bike, you know, you said, okay, you want a bike. Where are you going to ride it to? You're going to ride it up and down the block? No, take that bike. If you don't have a bike rack, put it in the trunk, bungee cord it down, take a drive out. There are folks in certain parts of your area, like your forest preserve, they have guides. Or if they don't have particular guides, they have maps to take you on these riding bike tours, and you're looking at nature. You're looking at the trees. You're looking at the different animals that are about.
Speaking of trees, we really had an experience when we went to Florida, and we got our Friday morning and Sunday evening host, Biata, is about to join us. That was quite an experience in Florida. The kinds of trees that are there, you wouldn't believe that. What would that be? Botany? What is that?
It's science.
It's science.
What you got? Math, English, science, arithmetic. Yeah, that's science. Hello.
Yeah. So that's science section down there in Florida, and. Now, tell us the name of the city again,
because
I'm about to botch it up.
What's that again? Hi.
Yeah, the name of the city where you live?
Altamont.
I'm going to say Altamont. Altamont Springs. I know we kept mispronouncing it all the time. But Altamont Springs. I mean, they had these trees that were growing swirls and all kinds of stuff. That would be a trip to take a classroom to and tell them, learn about the different kinds of trees.
Yeah.
And you know, just all the different plant life that was there. And I think when we can take our children to nature spots, they learn so much more than they learn sitting in the classroom reading it in a book.
Exactly. You get the hands-on, the touchy-feely, the get your hands down in the soil and smell it and feel the trees. That was amazing. And those were in the neighborhood. They weren't out at no resort or anything. These are things you find in the neighborhood. And walking.
Come on down to Florida.
Yes. And if you still want to go to Disney, you're not far from Disney. If you want to go to the space camp, you're not far from there. And that's something else. We have space camps in our backyard. We don't have to be where the rockets go off at in Florida and Alabama and Texas. In your backyard, I know in our area, the college, there's some local colleges that have the space museums. And we know now that space is beginning to rear its head to become the next adventure, commercialized space travel. And like I said earlier, Sir Branson was only in outer space for 6 minutes. That was it. I'm thinking he's going to be gone for a week or so. They were there for 6 minutes. All of that income, you talk about revenue, becoming a travel advisor in that space travel field. Oh, you're about to make some big money. And if you have children that are interested in the stars, there's a little boy that comes here all the time. And when we're out on the porch, I always show him and talk to him about the stars and the moon and the sun and how we travel around. And he's like 5 years old, but he's aware of it. And we were sitting one day, and he said, it's going to rain. I'm like, there's no clouds in the sky. He said, I know, but it's going to rain. And sure enough, that evening, it rained. I'm like, oh, you all have to pay attention to this, baby. But he's exposed. You have to expose him. You have to conversing. That's part of the village, exposing and conversing with these folks, these little people that are people. They're children, but they are people.
They're very smart, these kids these days. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm trying to smell my tiny house. And I had a conversation with someone this morning about children inheriting, my grandchildren inheriting my tiny house. Don't sell it. Because your grandchildren need that tiny house. They can learn how to build a tiny house, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, you know, my grandchildren are 5 and 7. In 10 years, this tiny house will be replaced by something else tiny or better. And so they were trying to dissuade me. And I heard you talking today about children and credit from the government, right? And so maybe I'll throw this out to you ladies. Do you think we should really be that concerned about holding on to things for our grandchildren, or should we just be taking advantage of child credits when they come along from the government, or travel? How about let's just keep those children moving, like Deborah is promoting here, just keep them moving. They might, in my opinion, they might travel to, say, Hawaii. I took both of my sons to Hawaii twice. They've been to Hawaii twice. Their dad works for a major airline. So we went over there free, standby, and we never got bumped, which was just a miracle. But those boys experience life on another location like Hawaii on an island. They've experienced so much, Deborah and Naima, that they don't really think about inheriting anything from me, I think. They just want to create their own adventure.
They do.
Because one of the islands we were on was Kauai.
Hawaii. We went to Hawaii, and my sister was with me, and we went to the edge of the island. My sister and I went snorkeling, and my two sons went hiking up in some little area away from the beach, and we never saw them for like 2 or 3 hours. My sister and I were snorkeling. My husband was doing something on the beach. But they were, and they were like young, in their early 20s, but they were exploring that island like I would never have expected. So do we need to hold on to stuff so we can pass it on to our grandchildren, or do we just, that if we keep traveling, like you suggest, they're going to create something wonderful and new that they may not need my little tiny house to help them do that, you know?
They may or they may not, but they definitely need to travel. Now, if you sell your little tiny house and invest in their travel, then that's an investment. Yes. So
that's the way I see it.
Yeah, that's an investment. Now, we're going to go away because it's our break time, and then we have a couple of callers on the line that I'm going to come back to, but we have got to continue this vibrant conversation. Thank you, ladies. Just a moment.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Welcome, welcome back. We are so elated in being here to be part of your life and sharing with you some awesome information. We're talking today about the importance of exposing your children to travel. It is a method of education that you cannot surpass by any other means. Travel, travel, travel. If you have any questions or concerns or you want to join in the conversation, please call us at 1-515-605-9325. That's 1-515-605-9325. And press 1 to share what you have. We do have a couple of folks on the line, and I want to go first to our caller at 312-823. Could you give us your name and reason, question, or concern about this topic? Hello?
Yes. Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay.
We can hear you.
My name is Rashida, and the reason why I'm calling is I'm reaching out to responsible adults, mainly women, to join us with developing, a spiritual boot camp, mainly for children with developmental disabilities and autistic. Because in the inner city, we don't have that type of exposure. And sometimes the parents are frustrated because they have to do over-nurturing in the home with their disabled children. So what we're looking for is people to assist us. I'm a founder of grassroots organizations, the 501c3, looking for women mainly who have some interest in reaching out to help with the development of our undeveloped or developmental disabled youth. And in the city, yes, we do have planetarium and aquarium and, you know, the conservatory, but we don't have enough able bodies to help with the outreach. So, Jane, I'm seeking that type of collaboration. And in addition to that, seeking with collaboration to receive a grant from the government. Most people shun from the government, but they do have fundings and legislation to do disbursements of the fund. They have a grant available, $100 million for developing your community, and that's a targeted group that I'm focusing on. So again, my name is Rashida Ali, and I can be reached at 312-823-6303. I'm looking for responsible, especially women, to do an outreach to that targeted group.
Okay. Rashida, I appreciate and the need that we have for the physically and mentally challenged children. They are definitely unique. Just because they have some challenges doesn't mean that they are not responsible adults or citizens of this world. And I would be surprised. I've seen some, and with the knowledge and the strength that they have to develop in this world. So, Rashida, when you say you're looking for support from females, is that specifically just for females, from females? And what type of support?
I didn't say it was specifically. No, ma'am. I said I'm looking for that targeted group to assist. It can be anybody who's willing, but no, because I worked with the homeless children, and I was certified at one time to do IEPs with the state for the homeless children. And during that time of my life, I found out that most of the children, all they needed was that additional support, and the parents, they thought by sending them to school that they would get what the children would get what they need. And I had a summer program, and then from my observation, students homeless, and the children were really, really motivated because of the outreach that I had in the sanctuary. So if we had more parents to participate in that type of service, or women, then we could sort of assist the parent. Some of the parents have that problem that their children had. And it worked. All of the students that I had tested out, Board of Education gave testings and books over the summer, and the Department of Human Services gave lunch boxes. And all of my children excelled, although they were failing in the Chicago school system. So I know it worked, but we need more than me to, and more than just chitter-chat about the subject. And I went to some of the churches.
Now, Rashida, our audience is worldwide. So what type of support are you exactly needing from folks that may not be in the geographical area that you are covering?
It's saying because it's a worldwide issue, but right now the urban problem is more at hand right here in Chicago. But it's a worldwide issue. Undeveloped countries, they have that same issue.
Okay, I'm not hearing you clearly, Rashida.
Okay.
I'm not able.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me better?
Yes, I can.
Okay, it's an age-old issue. Even it's been spoken about in the Bible and the Quran. But right now, at this day, we need it more so in the urban areas because they don't have that nature scenery to help motivate the students, and they don't have a lot of people that's willing. But it can go anywhere in the world. I know you've seen it on the TV. Well, the starving babies in Ethiopia and the services that they're doing to even educate them and give them drinking water. So it's not just here, but right now I'm concerned about Chicago and urban places that doesn't have those type of nature things and motivation and inspiration for children with developmental disabilities.
All right, so you're looking hands-on from the community to help you or expose these types of locations to you? Because I know in the Chicago area
we have a resource. I'm talking about the human beings input. We have a resource center that can facilitate even tutoring and even also motivating them into urban life, fundraising, acting, and we have an auditorium that can house. We have a center. I'm not talking about facilitation. I'm talking about human pragmatic input to help with that issue of developmental disabilities that's enabling our children to even function. And that could cause what they call mental illness and put fear into the children, other anxieties. So that's what I'm addressing. I don't care. It's a human being. It doesn't have to go all into all. We can facilitate if someone wants to help. You understand me?
All right.
I'm asking for, female that has the wherewithal like yourself and have the interest and concern to participate in developing the program. And then we can also set up a proposal to get funding to do it. You know, if the people who participate need monies, we can put together a proposal for that to pay them. But right now, my concern is on a humanistic, pragmatic level for that targeted group. You know what I'm saying?
You have a question for
her? I have a question for her. How supportive is your community, Rashida, to these great ideas that you...
Well, as I said, we have a resource center in Inglewood. You know, that's where the one-month-old baby got shot in the head last week and killed. In that area, we have a resource center, and the community, the men are very supportive so far. They're very supportive. And we have a basketball for the boys, a 200 boys participants. But the women, they always show how chatty women can be. They see one doing this and they and all that stuff. But that's why I'm asking for women. But, yes, it's very, the community know the need, and they, they're getting educated so that they can learn to be more. But the men are doing fine. Last Sunday we had Soul Food Sunday, and we were talking about the violence, and we had quite a lot of men. But the women, they're so chatty, you know, it's a problem with us sometimes. But, yeah, the men are.
Okay, so you're looking for more female participation, hands-on, at your center with the youth. Is that correct?
Yeah, those who have the will to see. Yes, that's correct. For those who have the will to see development for the development of disabled students. Because some of them have different interests.
Is this for the youth only, or is this center for all ages?
No, we have all ages, but the targeted group, as I said several times, is for the youth with developmental disabilities. Not the program services is not just for that, but this particular service is underserved and needed. And it's creating a lot of violence because we don't have the support. And by the females supposed to have the solution to that and then all the problems, we can create a change and make a difference with that that problem. And if you start at the level of the disability age, developmentally, then we can sort of rid some of these problems and fears and crimes that's causing mental illness in our community. Trauma is a form of mental illness, and it put all the fears in people. So we can start at the developmental ages, which for those with the developmental disability. So I think I'm trying to be as clear as I can about it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, ladies, do you have any other questions for Rashida?
I want to encourage her to develop a meditation and a community of people who are growing spiritually to bring on the invisible help that she needs. It's not, you know, I'm finding in my journey.
We have
that
excuse me. We have that at the weekend school there. We have that, but I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for females to participate to enhance what we have. We have that already in place now.
Rashida,
we understand
what you're asking for, but as I stated earlier, we have a worldwide presence. So some of the questions or the concerns and the support will come from someone other than in the geographical area of Chicago. So they can't physically support the way that you want to support. But we have here at the Female Solution.
You misunderstood me. I'm sorry you did. As I said earlier, this is a worldwide issue. But they have also international organizations that support them and the United States government. I'm talking about the Chicagoland area participation. Now, the other people... They have it. I'm not concerned about the international people right now.
Just a minute, Rashida, please.
Okay.
We have one more speaker that has a question for you. Naima?
Okay.
Well, one of the things that Rashida brought out was about children with developmental disabilities. And a lot of times people are under the impression that children who might be differently able should be hidden away, not brought out, not allowed to mingle with other people. And I think when we talk about educating children through travel, this is the best way to help children who have those challenges to really flourish. Because as we know, nature and everything that we talk about nature isn't always a natural ocean or park or forest. Sometimes it's the little lots with trees that might be in their vicinity where they live, but they need to be able to be out in the sunshine, hear birds singing, look at the different plants. They need to have an open field where they can run and play without a lot of restriction. They need to be able to laugh. They need to feel joy. They need the freedom that being in the open space brings. That's some of the most therapeutic ways of handling children. And children who are differently able need to feel that freedom to just be a part of the world, be a part of the sky, the sun, the flowers, the trees, the waterways, just feeling themselves a part of the universe without being made to feel like there's something wrong with them. And this is part of the healing process. So I think as we talk about educating your children through travel, we need to bring the children out of the environment where they're made to feel like there's something inadequate about them, even if they're in a wheelchair place where they can walk around freely. If they have difficulty walking, bring them someplace where they can, you know, sit in the grass. I mean, if they have difficulty communicating, let them sit and listen to the birds. And like Deanna was saying, teach our children meditation, because meditation is the process of going within. It's not religious instruction where we're telling, well, God said this and that.
No.
That's not it. It's going within. It's being quiet and listen to the God within, the voice of God within. Listen, being quiet and being relaxed and not being asked to do anything but just be. That's the best healing for the kind of children that you want to assist. And much of what you're asking for, Rashida, really doesn't take finances so much as you said, time. Be willing to spend time with a child. Be willing to walk with them someplace and just allow them to be themselves. Don't try to fit them to any kind of mold or make them learn anything. Just let them enjoy the presence of life itself.
But the psychological effect of violence if you can do research and study, you can see why the targeted group is right here in the urban area first, home first, because if there's so much violence and the psychological effects of violence create other disabilities, you don't have to be in a wheelchair or autistic, but it even puts more fear, which is a psychological effect from violence, into our children, urban. But a lot of us want to go outside of our community and reach out to those who are already doing what we need to do, homebound, front, boots right here on the earth in Chicago, and you can take it wherever you want to take it. You can even take the children abroad to visit with other children, you know, to see that children like them that's living outside of fear and living outside of the effect of the psychological effect, not of slavery, but of violence in their own home front. Because I'm an old lady, and I went out there in the community last week, and I'm looking at people now on the ground dead, been shot in the head, and that traumatized me. So that's a psychological effect, and the reason why the targeted group is Chicago is because we have a lot of developmentally disabled children because of that. That's why I'm just trying to make it simple. I'm not trying to say forget about the other part of the world. I'm talking about right here, when you go out in the community, an old lady been shot in the head. Prayer, yeah, but prayer without action is crazy, and I don't want to be. So it doesn't take a lot of no money, but most people are motivated when you give them something tangible in their hand. I'm not like that.
Change that mindset. In that same setting, you can change that mindset. They don't have to, because they pass by and live in that environment, doesn't mean that their mindset has to stay in that environment. And that's one of the reasons why we take them out of the neighborhood, take them out of the tragedies that they are experiencing, even if it's just for a little while, to show them that there is something other than this. They don't have to spend their mindset in this tragedy. They can expand.
You know, and Deborah, on that note, for instance, Rashida, if you planned a field trip to a horse farm every week, That would, I have seen children transform by connecting to horses or a trip to some other type of animal farm, pigs, whatever. These children, I think when they connect to animals outside of their neighborhood, they're not going to see horses and pigs and nature.
They're
comes
see
in
something else.
And that energy from nature, from those animals, comes in and changes their perspective on life. So that violence that you talk about will be transformed, and they will begin to see their environment with animals as something that they can desire to work for, to get out of their neighborhood, whatever. But it's just planning a trip.
I agree. Blue sister, it also stop them, help them to understand the nature of killing and the degrees of killing and murder. And when you take them into an environment where they, a slaughterhouse where they're killing the animals there, and you know the nature scenery, and then for those another benefit from it, for those who with the spiritual boot camp, that's what we what I have written in a proposal for in Pembroke. We also are offering those children who participate scholarships up to $1,400 to motivate them to be more educated. The civil scene, that's the killing of the human being. They can see the killing of the cow, pig, or whatever, and know that there's a different degree of killing, you know, and what killing is considered murder, and what killing is considered manslaughter, just through the nature scenery. So, yes, and then those boys who are going to the unknown and to the jail, we can do the boot camp, the spiritual boot camp, to motivate them that not to want to be participants in anything that would psychologically affect his brother or his sister in his environment. So I agree.
But you can take them to positive locations. We know about the jails. We know about the court systems. We know how tragic they are. You can see a court every day virtually and see how they run us through. But take them somewhere to see some positivity. Take them you've got DuSable right there in the area. You've got Bronzeville right there in the area.
They don't want to go to the concrete area to be motivated. I've tried that.
They don't know. They're not motivated. They're children.
They don't have to go to DuSable where all that concrete is and all the killing, okay?
Yeah.
Take them, to the nature thing. They can go there, but they don't have a will to go to DuSable. They're not motivated. Not even in the
taking them out of their environment.
Before we take a break, Rashida, I have one suggestion before we take a break. And the reason why you're in this state of mind, Rashida, is because you have been repeatedly traumatized.
And you are repeatedly traumatized. And you have two sisters. You get traumatized. Everybody's traumatized. But I am not. No, that's not the reason why. Let me tell you what reason why I'm in the.
Yeah. We're
going to go to a break right now, Rashida.
Yeah, we're going to go to a break. And then when we come back, I want to make a suggestion about how you can address the trauma of the children without re-traumatizing them with more violence or more references to violence. And the things that we're saying in terms of meditation and nature, all of these things are things that work, but they can't work if you keep reminding them of their trauma by taking them to places where people are traumatized. And that includes watching it on TV, listening to the radio, listening to violent music, all of these things that we've said traumatize us over and over again. So you have to choose to get it out of yourself before you can help get it out of the children. We got to take a break, Deborah.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll talk further about it.
Great. Hold on. Just a
moment. Hold on.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori.
All right. We're back. Welcome, everyone, back to the show, Move Around with Deborah, where we're here talking about the importance of travel and educating the children the children of the world. These are the folks that's going to be pushing us around. So we have to give them the nature and nurture of this world in history, nature, financial literacy, so many things. And we're talking with our executive director, Naima Lateef, and our health and wellness guru, Viata. And also we have a guest on the line, and her name is Rashida Ali, and she is reaching out to the masses, especially the females, to help nurture the children who have been mentally and physically attacked by the nature of the world, and especially in the urban areas, the crime that they see each and every day, the crime that they live in. And what are some of the ways that we can help her in her quest to change their mindset, take them out of that environment? And so Rashida, wanted to welcome you back. I know you gave us your contact information, 312-823-6303. So if you're in the Chicago area and you want to reach out to Rashida to physically come and give some of your time, help with this village that needs your support, please reach out to her. As we went to the break, I know our executive director, Naima, was speaking upon how we as an adult and as facilitators have to make sure that our mindset is being educated as well, because we're the ones directing, we're the ones driving this truck or this process, and we have to make sure that we're facilitating properly. So, Naima, did you have anything else to say on that?
Well, last we launched a global movement to address a lot of what Rashida's concern is, and it's entitled Women Against Violent Entertainment. And we've got a website, a Facebook page, which, of course, that gives you instant connection to a worldwide community. What we are seeking to do is one of the things, of course, we've done on the Female Solution all the time, which is to educate ourselves about the effects of violence. How is it affecting our minds, our heart, our spirit? And what Rashida is talking about in terms of the traumatizing effect of it on the children, this is why we need to pull them out of that environment. But we also need to not bring that into our homes through the television, through the computer, through their cell phones. We need to not look at violence. Don't keep looking at it. Don't keep listening to it. Don't keep talking about it, because it is going to affect you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So if something happens, we don't need to choose to go to the news story where they're showing someone whose demise has been violent.
Repeatedly.
Replaying it and replaying. Every time you replay it, you re-traumatize yourself. So we need to not do that. And this is one of the reasons why we're creating a whole movement to help us to stop feeding it, because that's what's making it escalate. Don't bring it into your home through any of your devices, not through your computer, not through your television screen, not through your iPad, not through your cell phone. Don't bring it into your home. And so then when we talk about helping children get out of that environment, we need to take them where it isn't happening. Don't take them to where people are getting shot. Don't take them to where people are talking about shooting. Don't take them to where people are talking about violence. Take them to where people are living in peace. Take them to where the birds are singing and flocking around and swimming in the pond. Take them to where they can see peaceful, quiet trees rustling in the breeze. They need to feel the grass under their feet. They need to sit and listen to the sounds of the ocean. They need to not be where people are behaving violently. They need to feel a different vibration. That's part of where travel is important. Get out of the urban environment. Get out of the tension, the stress, the fear. They need to feel a different vibration. They need to feel a different atmosphere.
And if you're stuck there, if you're stuck on that block where that person is laying out, there's still other things in that same space. This is where the meditation comes in. You see a person laying there, yes, but there are other things that you can envelop in your mind to not focus on that beyond walking away. You know, I mean, nature is all around. Architects. Look at the architects in the buildings, especially in Inglewood, the architects of some of the buildings. You can focus on the architectural attributes of that same block where that tragedy is happening. But you can focus, you can control your mind and come away from that right there where you are.
That's the first step, is choosing where you're going to place your mind. There was a shooting that was down the street from where I live. I chose not to go out and look at the corpse. I don't know where that, when they took it away. Now, I did go out because, you know, of course, we want our community to, you know, understand what happened. But I'm not going to sit there like a vulture and look at something that's going to traumatize me forever. I have never seen the George Floyd killing. I will not put my eyes on that because it was traumatizing. I'm not going to watch this man get murdered. I heard about it. That was traumatizing enough. I'm not going to watch it. I'm never going to watch it. I'm not going to ever watch Laquan McDonald and the 16 shots by this. I'm not going to see it. So when we talk about WAVE, Women Against Violent Entertainment, when you're constantly watching it and listening to it and talking about it, that becomes entertainment. You have to choose to not do that to yourself. Stop. Don't go and look at another shooting. Don't go and look at another stabbing, rape, whatever. Don't go and entertain yourself with these things because it is traumatizing. And do not invite children to look at it. Don't talk about it with them where they're constantly re-traumatized by the images, like Deborah is saying. Put something else in your mind. When you meditate, you're creating mental images. But if the only thing you ever see is the violence, that's all you have to work with. So you got to take yourself somewhere else. And put another picture in your mind, put another sound in your mind, and recall that in your moments of meditation. You have to reset what's inside of you. This is what our whole WAVE is about, Women Against Violent Entertainment. We have to stop people from the habit of choosing violence and entertainment. Unknowingly, you have to choose to not do that to yourself. And then you can take children place else, even in their homes. Choose another website to go to, another YouTube video to watch. Choose another program to put on your television. Choose something else that does not show them violence. That is a choice. Yeah. So every time you choose to watch the news that tells about a murder, you've done that to your own mind. You've done that to your own heart. You've done that to your own spirit. You're doing that, not the world. Now, today, what we have on our block, we had a wonderful event, an alley cleanup. We all got together and we cleaned up the trash and picked it up. And then we got together in a big circle and prayed afterwards. The whole vibe is different on this block. So we didn't keep talking about that shooting that happened. We talked about now we're getting to know our neighbors. And we've created the vibe of peace. We chose to focus on the power that we had to create an atmosphere of community, love, and togetherness. It's a choice that we can make every moment of every day. So, Rashida, I challenge you to choose not to speak of a word of violence today again.
Let me tell you something about my choices. I chose, because I live in a concrete building, I mean, for my own mind's sake, to plant seeds and grow flowers. Excuse me, let me explain to you what I chose to do for my own emotional state of mind. I planted flowers. I have all kinds of birds come. It's all concrete for my own mind, because when I went to visit into the community, you're right about those movies. those black movies, all they have is all kinds of guns and shooting. I said, I don't watch those kind of movies. Well, I do watch court because I am a paralegal, and I do like to understand the different faces of law. So that's why I watch court TV, and I watch all crimes from the sentence to the verdict, because that's me. But as far as me and my state of mind, that's why I pray to the higher and not to anything around me to make my mental stability strong. Because I wouldn't tell anybody anything about those type of experiences unless I've done total observation and understanding for myself, because I'm human as well. So I know I have, I'm not going to feel like I'm a law, that I don't have no emotions, especially fear. And then when it's happening right there, we can focus on it. I would be insane, and I choose not to be, to sit up and put myself in there and watch that. But it was like emotional things. So I can relate to those people who see it and accept it as norm to see a dead body out there. But I don't understand this black media. I do not understand those movies. I was older than popular movies. And the women walking around, black women, beautiful as they are, with their butt all out, with guns, shooting each other. I said, what is this? Now, I never saw that until recently, old as I am. So y'all need to check that media. I believe that. That's too much. But as far as court TV, that's knowledge. And it's also accredited, you know, because I did not know how they were setting George Floyd up because of his drug addiction and his participation with the police. I watched the court all the way through, and that's what I feel comfortable with. But I do not like watching those black movies where they're taking guns, all different kinds of guns, and making money off of shooting each other dead on the movies and the videos. So
I
live in a concrete area, and the people in the building are getting on me because I bring all kinds of birds to my balcony because it helps me, it helps my brain, my muscle. So I'm that way, but I am human. And I do have emotions, and I just can't accept it. To go out in the community and witness it with my own eyes, it's like what push me out of the church, you know, psychological effect on me. Seeing the Jesus with his head bleeding, the busting, and I left there. I wouldn't take the, what you call it, communion, eat the body, drink the blood, because of that. So I never liked that. I'm traumaphobic. I know my illness, afraid of injury, and not because I've been traumatized, because I never got a whooping in my life, but I got restrictions on me. Because I didn't have to get a whooping. But I don't like nobody browbeating me down, so I move out that scenario and be to myself. But, yeah, I have to feel like everybody else, though, but that's too much for me.
Rashida, I am so proud of you and your energy to help those in your community and around the world to share this information. But I want to continue to encourage to you to utilize travel as a process, an educational process, an opportunity to get to change the mindset. You see, if we change that mindset, we can be the most powerful people that we are structured to be. I look at the opportunities that we have in this city, in the major cities. Just as simple as taking a train ride to another neighborhood, taking the train from one end to the other, to the end, into the suburbs, and getting off and coming back, just visualizing what else there is along that route. And that's local trains. And then I'm not talking about the L trains. I'm talking about like the Metra and the Rock Island. They go out a great distance. Find out maybe what's going on in that area that is at the end of the route, and just take in that there are other parts of this community. We have the RV. Go to our RV park. And when I say go to an RV park where they sell RVs or where they rent RVs and take a trip to someplace like that, and where they can see, okay, we don't have to live in this community. We don't have to live in this apartment, this rat and roach infested apartment with the windows broken out, or you're afraid of going up the stairs or coming down and going to the local grocery store. You don't have to live in that. Instead of buying that car, you buy an RV and travel the world. Well, not travel the world, but travel the country in that RV and see and understand that there is so much just in a reach. There is so much to this world. The virtual reality, I'm looking at, I'm hoping that there was an overload of folks that went to the airport, to the Detroit airport. I think it was the Coleman A. Young International Airport today, where they celebrated the Queen of the Northern Soul, honoring Kim Weston. That's at an airport, and you don't have to get on a plane to go to some of these smaller airports. They're having this event at this airport, and this is in the inner city. So you take those folks that saw that person lying on the street, or they dodged themselves that bullet, and take them out to another area that's right there in their town. For the world, it is such an open, vast opportunity. You don't have to spend a lot of money to go to the museum. We're fortunate enough to have a zoo right here, and they're not slaughtering any animals, but they have that zoo, and they have many animals. And, you know, I have, sitting on my perch, my husband feeds the squirrels and the birds, and they all kinds of birds. And we have like red birds and blue birds that come around to focus. And yes, they had a shooting down the street on the block, you know, where folks was doing the fireworks. There was some altercation. But you have to get your own building that you can go to. But we're going to be wrapping up. Rashida?
Yes.
Did you have any last words you wanted to share with us?
Yes. I just want people to go to our Angels Network and register if you're interested in reaching out.
Okay,
to assist with taking the children outside of the community, because a lot of parents don't motivate them, and they don't listen to female police, so they don't look, and they fear to catch the train. So if you can go to our Angels Network and register whoever is interested in seeing this happen and motivation to development of disabled children.
So what is the site? What is that website?
It's angelsnetwork.com. We're asking for volunteer CNA, help out CNA, because we have nurses and stuff that's helping us on the team to reach out to that targeted group. So if you can go to the angelsnetwork.com and register. And
all right.
If they want to talk. If you want to talk to me personally, that's my cell phone, and I'm reachable 24 hours a day. I do have an alternative number, but I don't know if the business line, but you can reach me at my cell.
I really appreciate your input today. I'm sorry.
I like what you're doing.
Yes, angelnetwork.com.
Correct.
Okay. So thank you so much, Rashida. Now, I'll put this thought out there. If you have a group of young people that you want us to work with, I'll assist you in arranging a trip probably out in the country of Pembroke. We visited there last summer. One of our hosts, Maika, lives out there now on the farm, and we can maybe take them on a trip. They can do some blueberry picking and They can just live out. They can be spend a day out in the country. It's so peaceful. We've got a friend out there we've been working with. And we're going to do some solar power to their property. And it's very peaceful. We can go out there and spend a day in the country with young people, maybe guide them on some meditation, get them to de-stress, just spend a day of relaxation and get rid of all of the internal trauma that they're feeling from being in that urban environment. They can go to places where they find peace, quiet, and no fear. And we for one day. So that's what I would suggest, and so I'll keep in touch. You gather the people, we'll take them out to the country.
Yes, that sounds great. That sounds like a trip. Viata, did you have any last words to share? We got about a minute.
You know, I was born and raised in Chicago in 1965, and to hear all this violence going on right now, it just saddens me. But I'm grateful to have the Female Solution bringing some solutions. We don't have all the answers. But I think just doing this show, Deborah, is so important for each one of us to be committed to share our journey and to listen to people like Rashida, who's really out there on the front line doing her job that she was called to do here on this earth. So my hat's off to her and all of you in Chicago, because I don't have that journey here with violence. You know, we hear it on, I don't even hear that on the news here in my area. So I'm blessed to not have to deal with that. But like I said, I'm committed every Friday morning, every Sunday evening to talk about these issues wherever we, and like you said, this is a global platform. So Rashida's not alone. And I'm just grateful that we make a commitment to come here and talk about this and then share a few solutions. I'm with you, like she needs to get those kids out of the neighborhood.
Yes.
She needs to maybe get some interns from the local colleges to participate and take those kids out of the neighborhood. The key, the answer today is get the kids
out of the neighborhood.
Field trip, out of the state, out of the country, whatever. Just get them out of the neighborhood.
Amen.
So, my prayers are with you, sisters, in the jungle out there.
Well, thank you all. It's been a blessing, as always. And we will depart now. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, it's 8 o'clock Central Time. And that's the only thing I can remember because I'll screw it up.
8 o'clock Eastern PM.
Oh, PM.
Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. Blessings.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsanida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy,
Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.